Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 335, and on the day that we are recording this, the FitCast has turned 10 years old, and what better person to have on the show for that than old friend Brian St. Pierre, who I interned at Crescent Performance when he was working there, and now he's gone on to bigger and better things, now at Precision Nutrition. Brian, how you doing?
Good, Kev. How are you? It's amazing. It's 10 years old. It makes me feel old.
It makes me feel old, man. Oh, God. I was sophomore in college when I started this thing, and now it's like 10 years later. What's going on?
But yeah, you're telling me.
It's it's good. We're getting older. We're getting wiser, and we're all moving on to, like I said, bigger and better things. We're doing some really great stuff in the world of fitness and nutrition, and I'm really excited to talk to you about the latest of really what you guys are doing over at PN, because you're always staying ahead of the game when it comes to recommendations, whether it be for setting goals or just things in terms of like supplements that you recommend to people, and also just figuring out what we should be eating, and if we should be restricting stuff or restrictions bad, what's going on with all that stuff. So I think a good place to start would be with the a post that I think JB emailed out and or posted on Twitter and stuff like that about, I'll just say the title was something along the lines of, you shouldn't take fish oil.
Why we no longer recommend fish oil.
There we go. Why we no longer recommend fish oil. And I need some answers, man, because I've been we've been doing this for 10 years. And the very first supplement I think I ever took was flaxseed oil. Then I graduated onto fish oil.
Sure.
So what's the deal?
Well, the deal is, if you read the article, Kev, you'll see that we do still recommend fish oil. The thing was, for people who have been through our PN coaching program, fish oil in multivitamin or fish oil in probiotic was always the first habit. It was the first habit we had people do for years. Mm-hmm. And it's a good habit physiologically, right? We know most people who come in are, kind of out of shape, and their nutrition hasn't been where they want it to be, and so they're probably in some low level of an inflammatory state. And so we would kind of crank some omega-3s to them to, rapidly change the fatty acid makeup of your cell membranes to improve, cellular communication, cellular fluidity, decrease inflammation. We saw all kinds of benefits from it physiologically. But the problem was, it raised all kinds of anxiety for people, right? You were already coming into this new program. You're paying good money for it. Everything's new. The technology you're using is new. The forum is new. Your coach is new. Mm-hmm. So you have all this new stuff to you, right? A lot of change, which we know from our coaching practice, we want to shrink the change. And so, but all we did really with adding fish oil right away for most people was expand the change. Most people who came in weren't like you and I, who have known about fish oil for years and know the research and have been taking it, right? And we're very comfortable with it. They've come in and be like, what the hell? I got to buy this liquid fish oil and take, a certain percent based on my body fat. And it was all physiologically sound, but we'd always get resistance from clients who'd be like, what the F, man? I just came into this and I got to go buy a supplement, day one. And so there was always resistance and questions and fears. And so really what Krista Scott Dixon did, who's the person who wrote the article, and she's our curriculum designer, and she's a brilliant, brilliant woman. She basically decided this isn't working. Mm-hmm. It's just setting people up from day one on a psychological path we didn't necessarily want, right? It was just kind of making them anxious and worried, and they would have all these questions, and it wasn't setting people up in the direction we wanted them to go psychologically. So we still have fish oil in the program. We still recommend fish oil as a general supplement. We actually have a whole habit now dedicated to healthy fat intake that I actually wrote. And so we touch on fish oil in there, and we recommend, if you're going to take it, how much to take and that kind of stuff. It's no longer an immediate habit that we, recommend everyone do right out of the gate. So really what it comes down to is, we still encourage most people to consume fish oil, especially if you're not consuming, fatty fish mm-hmm. 2-3 times a week. And most of us aren't. But we don't make it I'll call it a forced change right out of the gate.
So that's interesting. So do you think it also, are you guys also worried about just throwing too much at once at people and just I won't even mention names of companies out there, but sometimes they'll throw like a new training program up and be like, yeah, you need these 14 supplements to make sure that you can follow this program correctly. Is that into consideration as well?
Yeah. Like I even said, you know, there's just already so much new going on and people first join that you're just adding a whole nother layer of complexity that's not worth the physiological benefit. We can get to that physiological benefit within a few weeks, you know, when we get to the fat habit, the healthy fat habit. But right out of the gate, we want to get people just calm and comfortable and, you know, kind of get their bearings with, you know, how they have to log in and check in with their coach and how to click whether they've done their habit or done their workout, how to find their workout, you know, just to navigate the whole site, just to kind of get their bearings and get a feel for everything first before we really launch into a habit they're very unfamiliar with. You know, if we were suggesting, you know, drink plenty of water as your first habit, that's probably not going to be as much of an issue, right? But fish oil was just something more alien to a lot of people. So it was definitely – there was just pushback in that regard.
Do you guys still have any, you know, caution when it comes to recommending supplements in general? Do you just feel like, you know, for the most part, let's just try to get all this stuff through real food?
I mean, ideally, sure. You know, we don't push – supplements in the program. We don't sell supplements. You know, supplements can still be helpful, right? They can enhance an already good diet, or they can help fill nutritional gaps if, you know, if that's what you're taking it for as well. They can also treat certain, you know, specific conditions. So for example, a perfect example, I have psoriasis, right? I suffer from psoriasis, an autoimmune condition. There is some, you know, mild evidence that like turmeric can help with the inflammation from psoriasis, right? So I take curcumin every day, something along those lines, right? We know that fish oil can help with certain symptoms. It can help with some levels of depression to some degree. Not that we, you know, diagnose or treat anything, but there are some supplements that can be beneficial for very specific circumstances. So supplements shouldn't necessarily be ruled out. They're not this, you know, evil entity.
Sure.
They should never be the basis. You know, if someone's taking like 14 different supplements, I kind of want to dig in and know why. You know, there are some general supplements we recommend, you know, protein powder, because it can be a convenient way to get in some quality protein, a multivitamin just to help fill in any gaps, prevent any type of nutritional deficiencies. You know, fish oil can be a good one. And then from there, it can depend. Do you have vitamin D deficiency, or do you live, you know, like where we live in the Northeast, where it's hard to get vitamin D? Majority of the time,
there's still snow outside of my grass. I'm looking.
Oh, my lawn is actually nice and clear, which is nice. Wow. But yeah, you have to, you know, you have to consider a vitamin D supplement then. You know, things along those lines. But generally speaking, we don't push. We don't really push supplements.
Are there more considerations when it comes to people that are trying to be more more plant based when it comes to their diet? You have to have more of a, you know, worry for them. And are there any supplements that you try to guide them towards if they're going to be on more of a plant-based or a vegetarian or whatever diet?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if they're going like a full, like vegan, full plant-based diet, there are definitely some considerations. You know, Ryan Andrews is a guy on our team who's a vegan himself. And he talks about it a lot, right? But you definitely have to make sure you're getting in adequate total protein. You know, it's, you have to be more conscious when you become a vegan or a full plant-based eater about your nutrition, because it's that much harder to meet all of your dietary needs. And so getting in adequate total proteins, definitely making sure you're getting in maybe like a full cup of legumes or lentils on a daily basis, because they're rich in lysine, which is an amino acid that most plant foods are low in, to help meet your protein needs. And, you know, if you can't quite get it all from whole food, consider a, you know, like a plant-based protein powder when needed. You definitely want to consider things like some iron. So definitely get your iron levels checked. You shouldn't supplement with iron unless you've, you know, discussed it with your doctor. But definitely get them checked if you're a plant-based eater, because plant-based versions of iron are not as well absorbed as animal versions of iron. Okay, heme versus non-heme. And then you also want to consider something like vitamin B12, right, which is mostly, almost exclusively in animal products. There are some plant products where it's possibly contained, but by and large, most B12 comes from animal products, and we definitely see some B12 deficiencies. It takes a long time. You store like up to 30 years worth of B12 in your body. Wow. But if you've been a vegan for a long extended period of time, something to definitely get checked. And so those are things I would consider. There are probably some other ones, you know, making sure you're getting plenty of calcium, right? Making sure you're getting plenty of zinc. Things that are generally rich in animal products, but there are ways, we have plenty of resources on the PN site about how to eat to make sure you're getting those things.
So if I am going the plant-based route and I'm getting my protein from those plant sources, do I need to eat more protein? Do I have to increase my the amount of grams of protein that I'm getting? Because, you know, people will say, or I guess it's true that it's harder to digest and make use of that protein than it is, you know, animal protein?
Well, generally what you see is, you know, there are different markers of how you score the quality of a protein, right? The gold standard now is protein corrected digest, PCDAAS, something like that off the top of my head. I'm going by memory here. But it basically rates, you know, protein quality, how it's digested and absorbed by humans. And plant-based ones generally are lower than animal-based products for a variety of reasons, mainly because they generally are lower in some important amino acids, like I mentioned before, like lysine. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like eating more, maybe, but if you're getting a good amount, let's say you're getting at least, you know, like 1.5, 1.4, 1.6 in that ballpark grams per kilogram of body weight, you're probably going to be reaching the majority of your needs, even with, you know, quote unquote, lower quality protein, you know, from plant-based foods. It's definitely harder if you're someone who exercises a lot, or if you're a big guy, right? If you're like a 230-pound male, definitely can be more challenging to get that much protein from plant foods without going with a supplement, a protein powder. Mm-hmm. Or even if you're like a very small female with a small appetite, it can be tough to reach your appropriate protein needs. It's doable, but it requires being very conscientious with your choices, making sure you get in like soy. As much as people like to bash soy, it's a quality protein, especially for plant-based eaters, because it contains all the amino acids in high enough amounts to be very, very readily used by the body. So, you know, a serving of soy every day, a serving, a cup full of beans, some lentils, things that are really rich in high quality plant-based proteins are really important.
Did you just tell me soy protein is okay?
It's not something I would encourage large consumption of, you know, but a serving of soy protein, probably not going to be an issue. I mean, if you're compounding it with drinking soy milk and using all kinds of other soy products, eating soy burgers, okay, now we're going to, you know, maybe run into some issues. But if you're keeping your soy, you know, reasonable, especially as a plant-based eater, mm-hmm. you know, one to maybe two servings a day, no, I think it can be. The pros outweigh the cons. You always have to kind of balance, you know, the benefit to the risk, right? And to a plant-based eater, the benefit of meeting their protein needs on a daily basis is way more important than the mild, very mild risk of, you know, some issues from soy consumption, which really requires like large amounts of soy consumption.
Interesting, because I always look at soy protein like kryptonite. Like I always, if I see it in like a protein bar, even if it's like the last source of, you know, protein that's in that bar. Oh, no, can't, nope, I can't, I don't want to get, you know, man boobs. I don't increase my estrogen levels.
It's listed by weight, Kev. So if it's the last one there, it's the
situation. That's what I'm saying. It's still,
treat, my friend.
I know, but still, it's like, it's something, you're in the airport and you're in like, your flight gets delayed. You don't want to go have the crappy salad at the, you know, like the pre-made salad that's at those little side carts. I'm going to get a bar, and hopefully if it's luckily most of these airports, believe it or not, they have Quest bars, which are pretty decent.
Yeah, they're not too bad.
Not too bad.
Lots of fiber, though. They can be a little problematic for some, but they're pretty damn tasty, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, I just bought 16 boxes, literally just arrived to my house because I had a 25.
Right.
I had a 20. You know me, Bri. I go big, you know, so I got a 25% off coupon of Vitamin Shoppe, and I had $100 in rewards that were about to expire from last year. So when that happens, you just buy.
So you can go all out.
16 boxes. And I'm like, this is the dumb stuff I worry about where it's close to summer and, you don't want those bars to be left outside to get heated up, or who knows how they are in between the warehouse to the door. So I just don't want to get
those
that
important
stuff.
Details. You're right. Yeah, they
are important. And if we go to World War III today, I have 16 boxes of 12 bars. I have like 200 bars. That is at least like I could almost get like a month out of that. I think
a month. I hope so.
I get stretch it out. I'm out of water. So, anyways, let's keep moving on. But again, weird looking. I'm sure there's other people listening who are like, I hear you get those bars are all melted when they, you remember those like metabolic dry bars, those get all melted at your door.
Well, they have that chocolate coating on the top. So yeah, I can see. I don't really ever order protein bars. So that's not something that crosses my mind. But logistically, yeah, you're right. It does make sense. It's just humorous.
So, I mean, are you still traveling a lot? Are you still doing like lots of flying? Or are you able to stay mostly at home base?
Yeah, no, I travel probably like 12 to 15 times a year for PN.
So what are you bringing with you? What are you prepping for travel to make sure that you're going to be okay? Because again, this is one of those things. I'm going to Tokyo in less than a week. So I'm starting to figure out what am I going to put in my bag to make sure I have some good sources of nutrition on this trip.
In terms of food, I don't really pack anything. You know, if I'm going for an extended trip, like 3, 4, 5 days, I'll bring, like my multivitamin, my curcumin, like my little old lady box of vitamins. I have my daily little.
You got like a pill box? Like,
oh, yeah, I do, man. It makes life so easy. Just got my multi, my curcumin, and my probiotic. That's what I roll with in there. And so I'll bring that with me. You know, if it's like a 2-day trip, I don't bother because I can take it the morning I leave and take it when I get back. And if I miss a day, it's not that big a deal.
What do you like for probiotics, by the way? I mean,
I go with the BioTrust, their ProX 10.
Okay, yeah, nice.
Yeah, I like that product.
Cheap too. I mean, the you can get them direct from Amazon. They're pretty good.
Oh, really? You get it from Amazon? Yeah, I didn't never really.
Oh, yeah, it's super, super cheap.
Oh, that's interesting. Something to keep in mind. See, learn something new every day. But in terms of like packing food, no, I don't pack food. I got like I got a system. So from where I live now, I'm like from my house. Past security is 20 minutes door to door. Like I leave my house, I have the TSA pre-check, so I just cruise through security.
Oh, nice. I gotta get that.
Oh man, it's so worth it. So I just cruise right in, and then I have this one place I like to go. I always get like a meal before I leave. It's steak tips and broccoli and some potatoes. Like, it's really good. So I always get a quality meal before I head out on my trip. And then I just make the best of what's available to me in a airport. You can usually find like Greek yogurt, some nuts, some fruit. Like, I can make a nice little snack out of what I need if I need to. You can usually find some decent places to eat depending on what kind of airport you're in. But generally speaking, you know, I look for, you know, if I don't have a lot of time, I'll try to find something quick, maybe some trail mix, something like that, or like I said, the Greek yogurt with some nuts and fruit. Mm-hmm. If I have time, you know, I'll go find a place and get a meal, and I'll get. You know, I get like my meat, my starch, and my veggie. You know, that's what I'm generally looking for. So I try to keep it pretty simple and just make the best of the circumstances presented to me. I don't fret over, oh man, I got to make sure I get, you know,
it's been 3 hours.
Since it's been 3 hours. What am I going to do? You know, I survive.
It seems like it's almost that the advice is maturing over the years, and we're not getting so crazy. And I kind of relate it to the, like, Mike Boyle has this whole evolution of a strength coach thing where, like, we all started with, like, everyone starts on like the machines, then everyone goes to like bodybuilding, then everyone goes to like strength, and then everyone ends up going to more like joint friendly stuff. I think that is kind of where we're getting to the with nutrition and stuff like that, just not having to worry about every 3 hours of eating. And now, I mean, you guys have even like, you offer, you know, support for people that want to do intermittent fasting at PN too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like within
our, well, and also, how's that been going? Because I mean, I think we talked about this like a year ago, but now you guys have really had it as, you know, part of the, you know, possible program for the last, I guess, year and a half or so.
Well, really what it is, I mean, it can be a couple different things. One, like within the program, within the year of the coaching, we have a day where we have people fast for like 24 hours. Which freaks some people out, right? Like, they're so used to eating every 3 hours and they feel like hunger is an emergency, you know, like, well, holy shit, well, what am I going to eat next? You know, it becomes like this psychological barrier rather than like a physical or physiological barrier. Mm. Right? People think hunger is just going to keep going up and up and up until their head explodes, when really hunger just kind of comes and goes in waves, like when you normally eat. And so it teaches people to not view hunger as an emergency, to realize, you know, eat when you're hungry and not eat when you're not hungry. And that going a little extra while without food is not going to be the end of the world. And within that, you know, there are people who then transition from that. They really like the experiment, who transition into some occasional fasting or some regular, you know, intermittent fasting. Or we have people who come into the program who have read like our intermittent fasting book and who are doing intermittent fasting but want some help. So they sign up for our coaching to have a coach kind of help them through it, help them with it, fine tune it for themselves, which, you know, of course we do. We don't have, you know, one dietary approach, right? We're kind of what we call nutritional agnostics. Mm. You know, we have a general recommendation that we roll with for most people, but it's just a starting point. It's not the be-all, end-all. It's just a middle, moderate, you know, location to start people, and then you adjust based on preferences, results, goals, those kind of things. So people want to come in and do intermittent fasting, and it's working for them, right? It fits their lifestyle. They're feeling good while they're doing it. They're getting the results they want. We'll roll with it, and we'll help them make it better and help it better fit their lifestyle and better fit their goals and their needs. So that's kind of how we treat it.
I think that's why you guys have been so successful. And we've had, like, for what we do with certified functional strength coaches, we actually get, like, people a discount on the PN certification. And I know you guys just are ramping up for another one right now, another round, and just nothing but incredible praise for the program and the support that you guys have given, and then also how they've been able to so easily implement it into like working with their clients, and just it puts you at such a huge advantage, especially for those that are in like the health club setting.
Sure.
Or if you're working with athletes, because you're going to get all these people that come in who saw something on, God forbid, like Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz, yeah.
His show got canceled. Is he still on TV?
I have no idea.
Because he went to like, he got in trouble.
Yeah, he went in front of Congress.
Yeah, he's an idiot. But anyways, hopefully, you know, if you are like interested in getting a really good, sound nutritional foundation, like what the guys over at PN, Brian, everyone else are doing over at Precision Nutrition, is just it's really the gold standard, and there's really no one else that even kind of competes with you guys these days. So make sure, that's just the mid episode plug real quick, because yeah, I've had Precision Nutrition stuff. Like I remember getting the binder back in probably, it was probably the same year I started the show, like 06. When I saw JB out in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Strength like seminar or something like that. It was a thing that Eric went out to and Mike Robertson, and what's where that Dan John squat video got filmed. Huh. And, that's like when I first met JB and like Nate Green, and I'm like, oh man, I got a next $150. I got to make sure I put this towards, you know, the binder that they put together for Precision Nutrition. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was probably just called Precision Nutrition.
That's all it was called. Yeah. I'm looking at one right now. It's not that version, but, just called Precision Nutrition. That was the thing. That's what we sold back then. That was it. There was no coaching, there was no certification, there was, you know, maybe a handful of people at PN, may have been just JB and Phil. But yeah, absolutely, I was on board the same time as you, man.
What are you guys up to now in terms of staff? Are you talking like 100 people?
No, we're not quite there yet. I think we're, boy, I think we're somewhere in the 60s. You know, I don't know. We add people that I don't even know about, you know, people that work in areas of PN. Well, like tech development, or website development. You know, that's far from my domain. All of a sudden, I'll see some new name, like on what we use Basecamp to kind of organize our projects and stuff. I'm like, oh, I don't even know who that is, you know? Someone new that got brought on to, you know, work in an area I don't work in. So we've gotten big enough now where that happens. Whereas when I started, you know, if someone new came on, you always just knew, because we only had 20, 25 people or so when I started, maybe 30, something like that. And now it's definitely in the 60s.
The last episode, I was talking with Georgia Dow, who not only a psychotherapist, but she also covers Apple as part of her day job. So I was wondering if you're Are you excited all about, I don't know if you've seen any of the Apple Watch stuff. Are you excited all about what, you know, that could potentially do for people when it comes to tracking? I don't know if you're going to be able to really track nutrition on there, but at least I know they're doing some really cool stuff. And they had this whole like laboratory for tracking activity. I don't know. Have you checked any of that stuff out?
You know, not much. I got like an email the other day from, I guess, from Apple talking about the Apple Watch. And I've
give us $500.
Yeah, exactly.
I did.
Yeah, of course you did. See, I'm not like an early adopter. You know, I still have an iPhone. I have a 5C.
Whoa.
That was my first iPhone. Oh, yeah, man. It was basically free. Traded in my wife's 4S like and got $200 for that.
Come on, man.
5C as an upgrade.
Were you sporting like a Motorola Razr before that?
Actually, I was. It's exactly what I had. That's too funny. And so, yeah, I've upgraded to the iPhone, but I'm not an early adopter. I'm not one who goes out and gets the, you know, the highest level technology phone. I use my phone to make phone calls, to occasionally text, and to check my email, you know, yeah, and to go on the internet when I need to look something up. I'm not on my computer.
Could watch all 7 Fast and Furious movies from the palm of your hand.
Yeah, you would.
I got them all downloaded.
That's insane. I have a TV for that. So, you know, I'm not one to. I'm very intrigued by the Apple Watch, though. I find it interesting. Mm-hmm. It's something I would definitely consider. You know, I think it could be really cool if it gets people to, if it can remind you to be more active. You know, like I have my phone. My phone's not always on me. So if I put reminders in it, sometimes I miss them. You know, like I'm not one to have my phone on me all the time. I intentionally leave it downstairs when I'm in my office or something like that. But having a watch on for little push notifications, you know, a little buzz. Oh yeah, let's get up, let's walk around. Oh yeah, I got
a little tap on the back.
2X. You know, I think that could be really helpful for a lot of people who just get locked into their cubicle. You know, and you don't necessarily have good reminders. Or really, truly, like, beneficial reminders to get you up and moving and being active. And in terms of, like, the tracking, the heart rate stuff, you know, the calories expended, the force. If you can have – there are so many cool products out there now, like a push band, which can measure, like, the speed and the power of work output you're doing, you know, heart rate variability stuff. If you can kind of have that all in one place, that would be pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm super fascinated by it to see what it can do, because I just think all the other fitness trackers are just garbage. They're just not accurate, and
they generally do like one thing. You know, but you want to kind of do a bunch of different things. You have to get a bunch of different products, and that's just a pain in the ass. You know, so if you could have something that can kind of do it all, kind of like the iPhone did when it came out, right? It was your It could be music player, your phone, and your email, like all in one spot, like. That's what made it so groundbreaking. And so same kind of thing with like the Apple Watch. I think it's going to kind of be an all-in-one type product. And that's where it intrigues me the most.
I'm going to be getting mine, I think, probably a week after it comes out. I was up at 3 a.m., but I guess I wasn't in the first batch on my phone laying in my hotel room in New York City trying to get that thing on my phone. But outside of technology, You're always kind of staying up to date with what's going on in the world of nutrition. Anything really standing out that's fascinating you, or be like, oh man, maybe we need to take a closer look at this, or we should keep an eye on this going down the road?
You know, I think there's always stuff like that that's coming about, but I think we do a really good job like tackling those things. You know, we had a great article this summer about Paleo, right, which is still kind of growing, right? It's still a movement. It's a movement that we've been familiar with for years. I remember it being talked about in like 07 when I was first interning at Cressy Performance. But it's mainstream-wise, it's still gathering steam. You know, so we've written stuff about that.
I just got a new book in the mail, a brand new book that someone sent me. And it's not a bad book. It's just, it's another book that's trying to talk about like the paleo lifestyle, and this one is directed more towards athletes. And again, it's paging through it, like the content's good. It's just, you know, I always kind of get worried when I see paleo whatever, mm-hmm. you know, attached to something.
But if it can, you can use that to sell good content, I'm okay with that. You know, if that's your hook, but you're putting out like appropriate and helpful content, then that's fine by me. Same thing, even like, and I also wrote an article recently about grains, right? There's still a lot of debate And it kind of ties into the paleo argument about the benefits of grains, the possible detriments of grains, gluten, all that kind of stuff. It's still very much on the forefront of, you know, the average American and their nutrition, right? I hear people all the time talking about, oh, I just got to cut back on carbs. I just got to pull back on the grains, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. In general, I think people, as much as I like to simplify nutrition, oftentimes people take that too far and they think the answer is just one thing. Oh, it's just grains, or it's just carbs, or it's just gluten. When in reality, it's your entire pattern, right? It's your entire lifestyle that really dictates your results. It's not any one food or food group. And so I think that's kind of what we're always looking to address and to discuss with people. In terms of like other, you know, new age approaches, you know, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything all that big right now that we haven't already covered, or that's not, you know, already been addressed to some form or fashion, you know. So you're kind of stumping me on that one, Kev.
It's funny, just as we were talking about that, I get these PR emails, I swear to God, every day for people that find the Fitcast online, and they just start sending me emails about new books that are coming out. I don't even know if I should read this book, but it is talking about conquering, I don't even want to say it. I don't even want to say it, but it's about, like, you know, fixing any disease, not any disease, but fixing disease by being through nutrition.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Can you help prevent some diseases through nutrition? Sure.
This is a quote. Drinking, this is like, these are their bullet points. I'm going to just put this part. And it's probably not a terrible book. I'm sorry if you're listening to this, but a ton of these just get solicited to me, so I doubt they actually listen to the show. Drinking beer will make you look and feel more quote unquote manly. I swear to God, it says that. And they said this is false. Men, your beer belly is lowering your testosterone by converting it into estrogen. Abdominal fat tissue secretes the enzyme aromatase, which converts testosterone into estrogen. If you'd like to hear more, learn more about blank, which I'm not going to mention right now, please don't hesitate to get in touch. Thank you for considering, and I look forward to your feedback. I will not be delete.
I mean, your abdominal fat does secrete lots of things. It does. It can actually decrease testosterone production, but a daily beer, probably not going to be an issue. If someone's slugging down 6 to 8 beers a day, they have other problems in their testosterone levels.
Stone Cold Steve Austin drank like 4 beers a night on camera, and then drank like another 10 off camera, and he was still the world heavyweight champion for like 3 years straight.
Wrestling.
Yeah, he was jacked, man.
A fake show. Yeah, he was jacked. I have questions why.
They're tested. They're tested. Don't worry about it.
They're tested. Okay.
They have a more strict drug testing program than any other sport, which is kind of depressing if you think about it. If that's true.
Random testing, or is it, hey, we're going to be testing you in 2 months.
Hey, John Cena, just a heads up. Get off the protein powder for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Get off the creatine.
Not accusing anyone of anything. I don't know any of them, but
now he just came out. John Cena actually did an interview last week where he said he has never taken drugs. Like, he's always looked the same ever since college. So, you know, he might be clean.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, I'm not certainly accusing anyone of anything. But when I look at the average WWE or today wrestler, I certainly have, you know, some suspicions.
It's tough. That's something that fascinates me, because in the, not just wrestling, but in pro sports in general, I always like to think that if I was in that situation, if I was on that cusp of AAA to the major leagues, would I try to sneak something in to try to get, you know, shave, you know, 3/10 of a second off my sprint to first base, or to see if I can increase my home runs by 15% for the year? You know, would I do that? I don't know. There's just so many of those guys, you know, coming up. Their testing policies are now fantastic too.
Right, right. And the minor league actually has really,
it's great
testing. Yeah. Speaking of that, actually, this is a little off topic, but a guy we used to train at Crestview Park, remember Kevin Brown?
Of course, KB, yeah, man.
He's in AAA right now, man. He's in the PCL. It's pretty incredible. He was a guy that was, you know, was a good high school player, but didn't even get a D1 offer, and now he's in AAA. you know. So he's pitching. Worked his ass off. It's awesome to see.
Is he pitching?
No, he's playing outfield.
Wow. This is, again, another sign that we're getting super old. These kids we coached in high school are now, you know, on the cusp of going minor league into the pros. That's cool.
Right, right.
What organization is he in?
The Cubs.
Oh, cool. Theo knows what he's doing. Let's, man, we kind of went off a little bit, but yeah, that's cool. Obviously, it's a lot of stuff that we can be talking about, but I'm going to, like, we even had, like, this conversation off air about, like, what we could talk about, and I'm fascinated. Let's talk about what you're doing and what PN's doing, working with pro athletes, because this is a really big deal in terms of, we're giving these players $20 million. We need to make sure they're in prime shape all year long. And like, we even had a thing, I mean, you might've saw with the Celtics, like Jared Sullinger, like was almost at 400 pounds. Like he was getting gigantic. And then he got hurt because he put on so much weight. His body could not take it. It broke down. And this is one of the guys that we drafted in the first round and was fantastic last year. And then he came in this year. And I guess now that we traded Rondo, he thought he didn't need to try so hard, lost a bunch of weight. Now he's back and he looks great.
Yeah.
But I guess what's it like having to work with these pro teams that are these pro players that are making millions of dollars? They, you know, a lot of times they may have the attitude like, yeah, I'll just keep doing what got me here. Mm-hmm. I don't need to change anything. What's that like?
I mean, generally speaking, not all that different from like the general population in terms of, you know, mindset or thoughts on nutrition. Yeah, they haven't, just like most people, they don't have a formal education in nutrition. You know, yeah, they went through college strength and conditioning programs, but they weren't given a lot of direct nutritional advice most of the time, unless they come from, you know, unless they played football at Alabama, right, or Ohio State, or a big-time program that had the resources to have full-time dietary staff actually giving good information to the players. You know, you see a lot of things that are just fascinating. And so, like, a lot of times, especially, like, with the NFL guys we work with, you know, they're young guys who came from a lot of times, like, poor socioeconomic backgrounds, don't have cooking skills or a lot of experience cooking. You know, they didn't get necessarily the best nutrition growing up, and so they have no foundation to start from. So their form of nutrition is after practice they go to Chick-fil-A, they go home, play video games, right? Like that's like their thing. They don't cook; they just buy fast food because it's convenient, it's easy. There's no cleanup, there's no skills, there's no shopping, right? That's just how they roll. And so what we really try to work with a lot of them is the fundamentals, right? Okay, we know they're not going to cook. So instead of going to, you know, Wendy's, can we go to Subway, or can we go to a sandwich shop and get something at least halfway decent, right? Get some quality bread for their starch, because we know they're going to get a sandwich, which is fine. Some quality protein, get some veggies in there, you know, make better fat choices, you know, try to use avocado or guacamole or something along those lines. There can be a lot of different options. So a lot of times it's those kind of things, making breakfast, super shakes, man. Super shakes are really big with these guys because they'll do it because it's easy, right? They can throw shit in a blender and hit blend, mm-hmm. and then rinse out the blender. And so, you know, they oftentimes get protein powder and stuff sent to them for free. So a lot of these guys don't have to worry about buying it. So all they need to pick up is like some frozen fruit and some veggies, and they just throw it all in a blender. So that's one of the things we utilize a lot with pro athletes, especially younger ones who don't have a family yet, who just don't have that like structure of family meals and that kind of thing. It's really, really beneficial. For the older guys, like with the work I do with the Spurs, for example, they're more of a veteran team, right? They've got guys who are married, have kids, or who have a personal chef because they've been doing this a long time. Very different story. They're definitely more advanced nutritionally. So with them, it's much more about fine-tuning. You know, it's like when I work with like Tim Duncan or with Manu Ginobili especially, they've got a lot of questions. And it's generally much more minor stuff at this point. They get their protein in. And they make good choices. You know, they get plenty of veggies. They eat for their needs, right? They're at the body weight and body composition they want to be at to perform their best. But it's just lots of little minor questions. So how do I feel about gluten? How can I do this better? You know, what do you think about this meal that my chef makes for me, or that my wife makes for me, or that I make? We chat about those kind of things on a really, really fine-tuning basis. But that's really, you know, not all that different from working with regular folks who kind of cover the spectrum of minimal skill set to highly skilled and just have some fine tuning needs. So, you know, a lot of the stuff we do doesn't even involve the players, right? Like I'll work with the kitchen staff, or I'll work with their strength and conditioning staff with the supplements that they provide, you know, work with the catering staff that they have to provide meals to the players after practice and before games and that kind of thing. And so a lot of it doesn't even involve the players, but that pretty much runs the gamut of what I do.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I got to guess that the veterans are the ones that are a little bit more, receptive to the feedback, because they're doing whatever they can to make sure that they can get one more year, you know, out of that contract, or you know, one more year out of their career, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it depends on the player. You know, some guys are like, I've been doing this a long time. What I do works for me. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just cool doing their own thing. They don't really have questions for me. Others, like especially someone like Manu Ginobili, he's got tons of questions. He's just fascinated by nutrition, so he's always talking about it. You know, so it depends on the player, really. But yeah, to some degree, really what you're going to see is guys who are on the cusp of staying in the league are the guys and are driven to stay in the league who have the most questions, who want to do what it takes. Mm-hmm. Because it's that, or, you know, they go work somewhere else out of football or out of whatever sport that is they're playing. So those are the guys you really see the most bang for your buck from, right? Like giving Tim Duncan an extra nutrition tip is probably not going to improve his play. For the most part, right? He's maybe the greatest power forward ever, regardless of whether I work with him or not. Mm-hmm. You know, versus someone, a perfect example from the Spurs, this was before I started working with them, but Patty Mills, who was a good player for them last year when they won the championship, was almost out of the league, was almost off the team a couple of years before because he was very overweight and he couldn't play as much as Pop wanted, right? Didn't have the conditioning. So he focused on his nutrition, dropped some body fat, and boom, he became a big-time contributor to, you know, a championship team. And so, you know, he's never going to be probably an NBA All-Star, or not going to be a Hall of Famer, more than likely. But he went from a guy who was borderline in the league to being like a legit, like solid contributor to a good team. And that's the difference it can make.
That's all it takes, man. I think obviously we all know, like as we get older, nutrition is going to play, you know, a bigger and bigger role. We can't get away with what we used to in the past. Mm-hmm. So we'll start wrapping things up. But before we go, I just want to give people a heads up that really means a lot. If you go to patreon.com/thefitcast, and if you support the show through there, you're going to get access to the agenda-free Fitcast audio series. We didn't have time to record one today with Bri, but we have lots of great stuff coming down the road. I have about 11 of those recorded at the time that I'm recording this. And that means you're going to get like up to 3 hours of extra audio from the Fitcast guests every single month. So go to patreon.com/thefitcast and you get to support the show for at least $1 per episode. You know, if you really enjoy the show, it means a lot if you do like $2. It's still like going to be about the cup of two cups of coffee if you did $2 an episode. That's $8 a month to make sure that I can keep setting aside the time to record these episodes as I'm in between, like literally every other weekend I'm traveling for the rest of the year. It is gross. It is, I mean, it's good. It's good to travel and see new places, but I'm racking up those frequent flyer miles and to make sure I can keep producing these. And it means a lot if you jump on that to support the show. So, Brian, what else do you have coming up? Because before we were talking, or before we were recording, we're talking about how you're going to be going to one of the Perform Better Summits this year to give a talk. That's going to be in Providence. Mm-hmm. Excited about that. And do you have anything else that's coming up that people should keep an eye out for?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very excited about that. You know, it's an honor to get on the Perform Better circuit. You're talking about some of the best in our field, right? Across the world, you know, JB, Stuart McGill, Cosgrove, Mike Boyle. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Cody to it too. You can rub that in his face.
Yeah, I know. Huh? I definitely sent him an email once I got in. Just to let him know. But, yeah, so I'm really excited about that. I'll be in Providence in July. I'm also going, I'm presenting at FitPro Live in London, for any of you international listeners. That'll also be in July. You can check out all of our seminars at Precision Nutrition. Just type in like Precision Nutrition upcoming seminars. You'll see I'm presenting there. I'll be presenting at, you know, the Cressy Sports Performance annual fall seminar.
I know that's hard, man.
I know, I always forget. Always forget. So that'll be in the fall of this year in Hudson, Massachusetts. I'm sure there are more I'm forgetting. There's a bunch of private ones I'm doing, you know, with Equinox, but those are invite only. But, you know, other people at PN, JB, Chris Scott Dixon, are also, you know, speaking all over the U.S. And internationally as well. So definitely check out that link, and you can see everything that we're doing. And I update that page on a regular basis. So.
And, you know, I will just say, just for in terms of like precisionnutrition.com, there's just so much awesome information just on the blog. If you want to start poking around there, and you guys are posting tons of fantastic info. But again, if you're in the industry, and even if you aren't in the industry, if you just want to like really get in-depth knowledge into nutrition and supplementation, it's kind of a no-brainer to just, you know, sign up for the course. It's really easy. You can do it at your own pace, watching the videos online, and it is really, it's the gold standard. There's no competition when it comes to precision nutrition in this industry. There's no one else that we send all of our coaches that are interested in it, in nutrition, from MBSC to precision nutrition. It's the one-stop shop. Try to make sure you're researching where you're going to go get your nutrition information, because you guys do a great job, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. So, and Brian, where can people, if they want to follow you on Twitter and keep up to date on there, you doing stuff on Twitter these days?
Personally, no. You know, I don't do much. I blog like maybe once a month, probably not even my Twitter page. Whenever I blog, I post something on Twitter. Otherwise, I'm not on Twitter. But you can definitely go to precisionnutrition.com. You can check us out, you know, Precision Nutrition on Facebook. We do a ton of stuff on Facebook. On Twitter, it's like @InsidePN. We have, you know, a staff who handles our Twitter page and our Facebook page. And it's Kate, and she does a great job. She puts tons of great content on there. So you can easily follow us that way. You won't be seeing me on there, you know. Fortunately for me, because that's not my thing. But yeah, it's definitely the place to check it out and check us out. And I have my own site, BrianSampertraining.com, but which, you know, has plenty of great content, older content, but not something I update frequently.
Perfect. Well, there's tons of places where you can check out Brian, and again, precisionnutrition.com goes without saying. And that's going to do it for this episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the FitCast on iTunes. Submit a review if you enjoy it on there. Let's keep the show up there in the rankings. Also, like I said, you can support the show at patreon.com/thefitcast, starting at just $1 per episode. That will get you access to all those extra agenda-free FitCast segments, and they've been coming out so well. I'm so happy with how those are coming together. And you can follow me on Twitter @KevinLarabee. That's LARRABEE. And just @FitCast. Just that one word, FitCast, no the, on Twitter as well. Thank you so much, Brian. We'll be talking to you down the road for sure. And I'll see you, God, like in 2 months in Providence, I guess. Wow.
Yeah, man. Yeah, thanks for having me. I look forward to it. I'm in the fast lane, racing through the best days. I don't want to slow it down. Is done. It's our time for having fun. I'm gonna party hard.